Today we are looking at lesson number 8 in our series, Our God Reigns, from the book of Daniel. This is lesson number 8 for Sunday morning, November the 22nd, 2022, last Sunday in the month of November. Can you believe we've only got 1 month left in the year 2022? My goodness, how fast time goes by. Today, the lesson, I'm going to tell you up front, I will not get the whole lesson done today. A surprise. As old Gomer would say, surprise, 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 yeah. But I don't think I'm going to get this done today, so I can tell you right now, it's not going to get done. But it's entitled, Beasts That Bother the Brethren. Beasts That Bother the Brethren. This is in the chapter that begins the prophetic part of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7 through Daniel chapter 12 is all prophetic. And Daniel is discussing what he saw in the dream, the vision that God gave unto him. And I want you to understand something today. Don't get confused and everything with the Bible, but this chapter goes back in time. It goes back to when Belshazzar became the king, and he was over Babylon. You remember his father was traveling. He and his father were co-kings, I guess you could call them. And while his father was away, Belshazzar was left in command. And Belshazzar was the ruler over this city. And Daniel had been faithful to present the interpretation of dreams and everything to his grandfather before him, King Nebuchadnezzar. He had dealt with other situations there in the kingdom. And the dream that Daniel had, along with the visions he was shown from God in this chapter, it was such that it frightened Daniel very greatly. It frightened him very greatly. And I want us to see today, here in Daniel chapter number 7, in verse number 15, the Bible said, because of this vision, this dream that Daniel had, he wrote this. He said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And you're going to see why as we go through this lesson today. Now, our theme verses are found in verses 17 and 18. And in verse 17 and 18 of the book of Daniel, chapter 7, Daniel writes these words. He says, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. That is a prophetic promise. You know, God is still in charge of things. He was in charge of things in Daniel's day. He's in charge of things in our day today. And we need to remember, as our lesson series is entitled, Our God Reigns. He is in charge of things. And we've got to remember that in these last days, these latter days that we're living in today, before our Lord's return, Jesus said we would behold these great things happening all around our world. Pestilence, famine, wars, rumors of wars, all these things going on. And the devil wants to make it seem like, boy, he's got the tiger by the tail. And he wants to make everybody think that he's got things going his way. But folks, all of this is in God's plan. Now, in describing the last days, the Apostle Paul wrote something here that you need to take note of. And I want to give you this verse reference. I don't think I got it in your bulletin. But it's 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 1 through 7. I want you to turn there just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Here the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Don't go around them. Don't be near them. Don't hang out with them. Boy, we're seeing this for certain in our day to day. Boy, it's in the news. It's everywhere you turn. The Bible said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, we're seeing that today. We're seeing it all around us in all that's going on in our world today. And while we consider these verses in the light of what's happening all around us today in our world, it surely causes us to wonder just how close we may be to the Lord Jesus coming and taking us home. It makes you wonder how close we are. Now, while the things that Daniel saw in his dream, and while the things that he saw that frightened him, greatly troubled his heart and troubled his mind, those things being shown to Daniel, in one sense, only frighten us to know and to realize that judgment is indeed coming one day for those who rebel against God, for those who have rejected Christ as their Lord and Savior, for those who have snubbed their noses at God and says, I don't care what that book you have says, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And boy, that's where we are today. Folks have disregarded the laws in our land. Folks have disregarded everything that's going on. That they just think, well, we can get away with murder, literally, murder. This thing with the baby issues, the abortion things, and now states approving to have a baby that's unwanted killed up to 28 days after it's born. Can you imagine? They've legalized this today. And one state, California, has said that that's what they're going to do. New York has said, we will make the baby as comfortable as possible until a decision is made what to do with its life. Folks, it's wrong. It's murder. And no matter what anybody says, the devil thinks he's got the bull by the horns, but folks, God is still in control. And God is going to judge this sin. God is going to judge men that think they can get away with doing whatever they want to do. So I want you to continue to pray. Continue to pray for our nation. Continue to pray for our world. We're seeing our world literally going to hell in a basket. And nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to care. And folks, you and I need to care today because we're going to also stand before God. And this generation of Christians is going to give account unto God for this generation of sinners. And we are responsible for the message that we are to give. And we need to be giving the message of the gospel. And while I have that on my mind, you can go on our website, on the church website, and sign up for the next Soul Winners Club training program that begins on January the 11th. January the 11th. And if you would like to learn from the Word of God how to lead folks to Christ and how to be able to present the Word of God confidently from the Word of God, present the plan of salvation and show people how to be saved, then please take time to sign up for the class. It begins on January the 11th, okay? End of commercials. All right? Now, I want you to look at this lesson with me today. What these dear folks have forgotten is that one day, sooner or later, each of us is going to stand before God. We're going to all stand before God. We're going to give account unto Him Today, Daniel was made aware in these lessons. Daniel was made aware of the perilous times that lay ahead for this wicked, sin-filled world. And when he looked at what was happening and the symbology that God was showing him and the things that he would predict for Nebuchadnezzar and in the image that he saw and in everything else that happened, it troubled Daniel greatly. And I want us to see what these dreams and what these visions meant in the life of Daniel and what it means for our world today. So I want us to turn here to Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to begin in verse number 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3, and I want you to see the setting of the vision. The setting of the vision. Daniel writes here, he said, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove against the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now again, remember, this chapter takes us back, and if you're going to chronologically put it in order, it would be between chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Daniel. But as God revealed his message to Daniel, he assured Daniel that he was still in control of things. He was still in charge, and Daniel's God still reigned. As a matter of fact, Daniel's God, my God, your God today still reigns, and God is still in charge today. Now, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar saw, you remember it had a head of gold, the shoulders and neck and all. It went all the way down the list of the metals, the silver, the brass, the clay, the iron, all these things. But then, as in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that image seen by Nebuchadnezzar was also seen in Daniel's dream. However, in Daniel's dream, man is not exalted. You know, remember in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Nebuchadnezzar was sort of exalted and said, hey, you're the head of gold and these are the things that's happening and all these things. But man here is not exalted. But earthly kings and earthly kingdoms are shown in this dream and in these visions that Daniel has. They're shown as brute beasts. And then their natures and their desires, they're cruel at best. And God shows this to Daniel to let him know what is going to be happening. In this dream, it's revealed that the four winds of the heavens, which they symbolize God's power to intervene, God's power on this world. But it shows here, it's revealed here, even as you look at what Pastor has been preaching about on Wednesday nights over in the book of Revelation. And if you look over in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, the Bible said this. It said, John wrote this. He said, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. You see, God still had a plan. Once God takes, the Lord Jesus takes his church out of this earth, the Spirit of God is lifted off this earth. How is it done? The same way you would take a bottle of perfume and move it from one location to another. You want to move the perfume? You got to take the bottle with you, amen? And it's the same way it is with us today. and the Holy Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is taken out of this earth, you and I have to be taken, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We're that bottle of the sweet perfume of God, and He's going to take us out of here. But God's concern is still 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But Paul asks, he said, how can they hear without a preacher? How are they going to know what the Word of God says unless somebody takes the message to them? How are they going to know? So God seals 12,000 Jewish male virgins, 12,000 from every tribe, and He puts His seal upon them, and He sends them out into the world where that you and I have never reached, where the church never did what it was supposed to do, and go to all the ends of the earth. These folks are going to go into those areas to people that have never heard the message of the gospel, and they're going to present to them the Word of God. And many of those people, multitudes upon multitudes, will come to know Christ as their own personal Savior during that time of tribulation upon this earth. Now, a lot of people come back and say, well, that's when I'll get saved because I'll know then. You know, no, The Bible talks about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. How that if you'd heard the message of the gospel and you rejected it, then you're doomed. There is no second chance for you. You've heard the message. You've turned it away. You've rejected the gospel. And folks, listen to me today. It's a serious thing, this coming of the Lord Jesus. It's a serious thing for those of us who are saved, because after He takes us out, we stand before Him. We give account unto God for what we have done for the Lord since salvation, since being saved. We give account of ourselves unto God. Not for those people around you. I hear many people say, well, I'd serve God if it wasn't for those other hypocrites. Well, join the crowd. There's plenty of room. Amen? Listen, you go to the store and shop for groceries with all the hypocrites. You go get gas. You work beside them every day. And yet you won't go to church because somebody offends you. Listen, I want to show you something today. I want to pretend that's a hypocrite. Okay? And I will pretend that that's you, and I will pretend that that's God. Now, you look at this picture. Can you see that? I'll turn it, okay? All right. You, God, the hypocrite. The hypocrite standing between you and God. At this point, who's closer to God? You or the hypocrite? You know what? That's something to think about today, folks. I need to stay close to God, so I've got to get back and say, hey, you know what? Romans chapter 16, verses 16 and 17 talks about, Paul said, you mark those folks that cause discord among the brethren. You mark those folks that teach something contrary to what God's Word says. You mark them, and you avoid them. Don't let a hypocrite stand between you and God. Why? Because one day, you're going to stand before God, and you are going to give account unto God for what you did, not what the hypocrites did, not what anybody else did. You're going to stand before God and give account unto Him for what you've done for God. So I beg you, stay close to the Lord. As we come to these days where we see all the things around us, where the Lord Jesus can come back at any moment, stay close to God. Answer your phone, okay? Amen. That's the Lord calling. Hello, Lord. All right, listen. Stay close to God. Don't let anybody keep you from getting close to God, all right? Now, that's the second sermon, but let's go on with the lesson today, all right? Now, I want you to see now the scene within the vision. The scene within this vision. Look at verses 4 through 14. Daniel writes here, he said, now, here's what I saw in this vision. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon it the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Now, I want you to go down to verse number 17 just a moment. The Bible said, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now, go down to verse 23. The Bible said this, he said, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So as we look at these verses, think about what we've already studied in the book of Daniel. Think about what we have heard taught unto us on Wednesday night Bible studies from the book of Revelation. And God is showing Daniel here some of the very same things that he showed unto John in the book of the Revelation. And these things correlate one with another. And God is showing Daniel things that are to come. That first king, look what the Bible said. He was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This first beast represents King Nebuchadnezzar and his great earthly king of Babylon. You remember how he was plucked up, the feathers plucked out. He was made humbled because he was lifted up in pride before the Lord. And God warned him through Daniel what was going to happen if he let this thing continue. And for 1 year, King Nebuchadnezzar did pretty well. He didn't brag about himself. He didn't boast and all this stuff. But one day he's out walking and looking at his kingdom. He says, man, look at all I've done. Look at all I have accomplished. And God said, that's it, buddy. And he gave him the heart of a beast, the mind of a beast. And for 7 years, he wanders around out in the fields, eating the grass like an oxen. This is that first beast. the second beast, representing that second kingdom that would rise up and defeat the first head of gold, okay? The head of gold on that image. Look at what it talks about here. That was that Medo-Persian Empire. We looked at that the other week. And it was like to a bear. Now, it was a little bit slower, like a bear. A bear is slow. It's not quick like an eagle or anything like that. But this bear rose up against the first kingdom. And look what the Bible said. It raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, the Bible says here that this first beast, or this fierce beast, it raised itself up. It represented how that with more than 2.5 million troops, the Medo-Persian army was a great army. They had over 2.5 million soldiers armed, trained, and they went in and they devoured much flesh and utterly destroyed three basic kingdoms. They destroyed Lydia, they destroyed Babylon, and they wiped out Egypt. The three ribs he's talking about here. This is what the Medo-Persians did. Then you look and there arises yet a third beast in this dream. A third beast. And in verse 6, Daniel writes here, after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard. My eyes were drooping at that moment. Like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given it. This third beast is described as a leopard. A leopard is sleek. It's quick. It's agile. Okay? It's very quick in the things it does. It's powerful. It attacks powerfully. And it attacks its prey, and it represents none other than that next kingdom that came up, which was Alexander the Great. Alexander came in. He became the great leader of the Grecian Empire. He destroyed the Medo-Persian forces and conquered the entire then known world. That was that third kingdom. The four wings represent the quickness, okay, that he devoured those lands, those kingdoms, the speed of his armies. And it talks about those four heads. When Alexander the Great died, his kingdom was divided among four of the generals, the men under him. And it was divided out into four separate kingdoms afterwards. Daniel is seeing all this. Then, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, he said, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. You remember the part of the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream? The great iron part, the legs and the feet and all these things. What did it represent? What kingdom did it represent? It represented the Roman Empire that would come in and began to just utterly destroy by might and by power and by fierceness all that came before them. But there was something unique and different about this beast than all the other previous beasts in Daniel's dream. Because this particular beast, it says here, it devoured not like a natural beast would, but it had great iron teeth. And it said it brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. This fourth beast would represent itself in two different forms. The first one would have 10 horns, and the second would have one little horn that was different than all the rest. Look at verse 8. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now in Daniel's dream, as I was studying over that this week, this fourth beast would come to power, but then later it would be revived into an alliance of 10 different kingdoms. Okay. I thought, is it time to be already done? Or? It would be divided up into 10 other kingdoms. And in Revelation chapter 13, if you'll look in verse number 1, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, John writes this. He said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." And then if you look down in Revelation chapter 17, he said this, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Boy, Daniel is seeing what John would later write about in the book of Revelation. It'll all come to pass during those 7 years of great tribulation that's going to come upon this earth. This little horn will come to power, and it will overcome the 3 previous kingdoms. It's going to overpower them. He's going to take control, then dominate all the other kingdoms of the world. And then Daniel describes here in verse 8, he said, it's going to have eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, boasting, bragging, prideful talk again. Boy, that's the way of the devil, is it not? Boastful, proud. Now, Daniel watches in wonder at the things that God is revealing unto him in these dreams, in these visions. And in verse 9, he said, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days," that's God the Father, "did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." You see, Daniel noticed in this dream, in this vision, that all the thrones and kingdoms were cast down, and now the scene changes to where they're all in that great courtroom of God. They're in that great courtroom at the great judgment that's going to take place at the end of that 7 years. And you think about, folks, what a sad day that's going to be for so many. So many who have snubbed their noses at God. So many that were lifted up in pride and thought that they had the bull by the horns, and yet they rejected the God who loved them. Then he writes here in Daniel chapter 7, verses 10 through 12, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." Folks, what Daniel is saying here, when God opens the books, when he opens them and he judges these people for their sin, it's going to be judged, their wickedness is judged according to God's righteousness. According to his righteousness, not ours, not theirs, not anyone else's, but it's according to God's righteousness. And he said, "I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning fire. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time." Can you imagine the things that Daniel was seeing in this vision, in this dream? He saw in it the glory of God as God sat upon his throne. The world chose to reject him, but Daniel recognized him as the Ancient of Days. Of the innumerable crowd of witnesses, 1,000,000s ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. In other words, it was a number that Daniel could not comprehend, those who knew the Ancient of Days. And then notice here that the books were opened. The books were opened. Look in Revelation chapter 20 just a moment. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 13, John wrote these words. He said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." God is showing all these things to his faithful servant Daniel of the things that were going to come, the things that were going to happen. And then in chapter 7, verse 11, he said, "I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." While Daniel observed all that God was showing him, while he watched these things, he said, "And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." The one that Daniel is describing here, like the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came to the Ancient of Days talking about God the Father, and God the Father brings him here and gives his Son dominion and power and the glory which he deserves. And all people, all nations, all languages shall serve him. Folks, what a day that's going to be. Amen. The world today has rejected the Savior. The world today laughs and they mock and they make fun. But I believe that this is also what the Apostle John wrote about over in the book of Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 15. And this is what John said. He said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne of their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory be unto our God forever and forever. Wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these things? What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And John said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, folks, it's not baptism. It's not church membership. It's not your good deeds. It's not your good works. It's the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from sin. And the Bible said here, Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them. In Isaiah, we use this verse at Christmas time, but I thought about this verse, and Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, he said, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, on the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. And Daniel said in the last part of verse 14, look at it. He said, in His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I think about that song we sang today. Oh, what a day that will be. Amen. Think about it, folks. Daniel is describing all these things. Daniel saw all these things, and he wrote in Daniel chapter 7, verse 15, he said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He was probably grieved because, in part, he didn't fully understand all that he was seeing. He didn't fully understand all that he was learning about from this vision. He was troubled in part, perhaps, because of the fearful and just the nature of what he had seen and what God was trying to tell him in the days ahead. But because of all this, in verses 15 through 28, we're going to see how God chose to reveal to Daniel what this vision meant and how it would affect the people of God in the days of to come. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll give you that revelation, okay? All right? I told you I would not be able to get this thing done today, and I hope you understand why. But man, as we read through this chapter, we see all that God has described to us so far, and we see how the Word of God all comes together to remind us of one thing, and that one thing is this. Those of us who know Christ as our Savior, honey, we're on the winning side, amen? We're on the winning side. And let's thank God for that today, amen? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love You this morning. Lord, I don't know what I would have thought or done if I had been in Daniel's place, what I would have thought about all the things that You were showing unto him. Lord, I would have been so fearful, even as Daniel. I would have been afraid to even think about those things and try to figure it out. But God, thank You for showing us, Lord, that You are still in control and that our God reigns as in full control of all things in our world. Help us, Lord, for these things then to draw us to a closer fellowship with You. And Lord, in our relationship, God, that we would set our hearts upon serving You to the best of our ability until the day that You call us home or until the day that You come down and take us home to be with You. Help us, God, to be found faithful. And Lord, if there's anyone listening to the sound of my voice today that does not know You as their own personal Savior, God, I pray, Lord, today that You will so convict their heart and show them their need of a Savior, God, that they'll bow before You today and call upon You and be saved. Thank You, Lord, for the lesson. I pray, God, that You'll bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. We'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Amen. We love You today. Thank You for being in Sunday school.